Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Spencer Day is a critically acclaimed jazz vocalist who also loves musical theater. His rich baritone voice has wowed audiences in large and small venues alike. From piano bars in New York City to an appearance at the Monterey Jazz Festival, Spencer Day delivers a performance that's always uplifting. On his latest album, he reimagines classic Broadway show tunes in a jazz-flavored setting. Our jazz music director, Gary Vercelli, spoke with Spencer Day this spring and began by asking him why he chose this theme.
I think my attraction to Broadway musicals probably started when I was fairly young, just due to their entirely fantastical and escapist nature, because I think, like a lot of kids who don't quite fit in, when they're growing up, I was looking for some place where my flamboyantly large creative tastes might not only be just accepted, but celebrated. And also had kind of a rough family life at home. And so discovering that music could be such a sublime form of escapism to start with was probably how I became a musician. We weren't really allowed to watch. I grew up in northern Utah, and so our access to culture was pretty limited. So it was either Disney movies or MGM musicals, because they were both G-rated and considered wholesome. So I opted for the MGM musicals. So I'd say my love and fascination began back then, and my ability to see how a song, and especially a song that's put in the context of a show, could really transport you into another world, which was of utmost interest to me as an unhappy kid.
Were your parents musical? Did you have music around the house?
I did. You know, my mom, who ended up raising all six of myself and my siblings, she could play Beethoven and was a coloratura soprano. And so even though she was working too much and we really didn't get to study with her, I think her musical talents and abilities definitely must have permeated through the air and reached us.
When did jazz become an attraction to you as an idiom or genre?
The only jazz that we had growing up in rural Utah was the basketball team. So I'd probably say I was about 16 or 17. I came to that a little bit later. And I think first, like a lot of people, probably fell in love with Rhapsody in Blue and then Billie Holiday and Chet Baker. And weirdly, for the record that we just finished recording, I never really listened to Frank Sinatra much, maybe because from very early on in my career, if you're a baritone, you're kind of compared to that. So I really stuck more with the Torch Singers and Betty Carter and Billie Holiday.
I have often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
Most jazz musicians do make it to the Mecca of New York sooner or later. Was there an attraction enough for you to move to New York City at one point?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, and the first time I landed in New York, everything about it felt so exotic to me. It was just otherworldly. I could still imagine and see New York in the Charlie Parker era that I wanted it to be. So, yeah, I think for any artist, New York is a pretty life-changing mecca when you finally get to go and see the heights of what musical greatness can be reached there. I lived there for 10 years. So,
what about the struggle from day to day? I know that one of the songs you've chosen to interpret here is What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line. There's a struggle of day-to-day life in New York, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's where the denial and the fantasy of escaping into your Rhapsody in Blue era world is essential. I talked to another friend about that. She's like, we all have to live in our own black and white Woody Allen movie just to deal with the parts of it that are so difficult. The whole creative process, the auditioning and all the no's and the rejection, it's like you kind of have to have a little bit of Norma Desmond delusion in you, I think, to put up with it. I always thought the song was just about what you did for a romantic relationship. And as we recorded it, he explained the real context of how it's a director asking, if you could never dance tomorrow or you could never sing, what would you say to yourself? And for me, my ability to connect with it changed profoundly, because if I look back at all the years spent, and it's such a blessing to do this for a living, but there's so many profoundly lonely moments, so many relationships that you have to give up, because, you know, dating a musician's not for everyone. If people want you home every night, So there's a lot of things I've had to say goodbye to and give up. And as the song lyrics will say, though, I won't regret it.
Kiss today goodbye and point me toward tomorrow. We did what we had to do. Won't forget, can't regret what I did for love.
We're speaking with Spencer Day. He's going to be in concert here in Sacramento. Spencer, one of the interesting choices you made was from Evita, I'd Be Surprisingly Good For You. What's your take on that?
I'd be surprisingly good for you.
I just felt that with that song, that it was a really underrated gem and very harmonically interesting. And during the pandemic, I found myself very accidentally quarantined in Mexico. And while I was there waiting to figure out what was going on with the world, this is very early on, I was able to connect with some really great musician friends I've known there for a while, some wonderful mariachi musicians and flamenco musicians. And since I already happened to be down there, I actually replaced some of the parts we'd originally rehearsed and recorded and said, well, let's go straight to the source. We're in Latin America. So I think you can really hear that on the track. I think it's a really awesome fusion of jazz and then very authentic Latin American musicians.
I won't go on if I'm boring you, but do you understand my point of view? Do you like what you see, what you're hearing? Could you be good for me too? I'm not talking of a hurried night, a frantic tumble and a shy goodbye, creeping home before it gets too light. That's not the reason why I got your eye, which has to imply that I would be so good for you. I'd be surprisingly good for you. So good.
One of your label mates on your new record label is Jane Monheit. Tell me about working with her and how you selected a tune from Hello, Dolly.
Well, actually, that was really Jane's idea. She had just seen the production with Betty Buckley. She's just probably the most swinging jazz singer that I know of out there.
What qualities of her voice make a good combination with you as a baritone?
Well, I think if you're singing with someone who's a really sensitive singer, that's the most important thing apart from your ranges is that other person listening. And you both have to be pretty egoless, because in order to get a good blend or mix, anytime I sing duets, you both have to be willing and able to alter your instrument just enough to make the mix really come alive with the other person. And so I think the one thing I appreciate is her ability to really get down and dirty in terms of really understanding what's musically happening rhythmically. And she's just very serious in the studio in a way that I love. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she knows when the take wasn't good and when we got it.
And that is all that love's about.
And we'll recall
when time runs out how we only took a moment to be loved, to be loved, to be loved. Oh, I'm loved.
From a carousel, you chose If I Loved You, and you worked here with Dave Cause. Tell me about how long you've known Dave and what he brought to the project.
We were label mates on Concord Records, and he called me up out of the blue one day and said, hi, your record's really great. This is Dave Cause. And I was like, I know who you are. Hi, I don't know how you got my number, but I'm glad you did. And he's been a huge champion of mine for years. And when I started coming up with this record, I had kind of a wish list of some people I was hoping might appear on it, and I didn't actually know whether they would or not, and both he and Jane agreed, much to my surprise and delight. This track was really fun because he really can play pretty much any genre and any style, and I was just personally very excited to hear what he might sound like on a track that we treated more in a Antonio Carlos Jobim, Brazilian Bossa Nova, Stan Getz sort of style. And it's also one of my favorite tracks.
How I loved you. If I love you.
You've done some impressive work with the Budman Levy Big Band, and you recorded, I guess, with them in the Capitol Studios?
That is correct.
What was it like working in a studio that, you know, Nat Cole and Frank Sinatra had left their DNA in?
Well, I'm very lucky that I didn't just get to be in the room that their DNA is still hovering about, but I actually got to record with, they brought out Frank Sinatra's microphone, almost like it was like a, you know, religious ceremony out of the sarcophagus, which was pretty cool. This little kid of me that grew up where I did still can't believe that I've gotten to do some of these things. I think whenever I get down, which as we know during the pandemic, it's easy for any of us to do and start maybe feeling bad about where we think we should be or ought to be, I look at some of these things and I'm still just overwhelmed that I actually got to do it. I got to be in there in the same control booth that Judy Garland and Frank Sinatra and all these people got to be in, and the 20-year-old kid can't believe it. I don't even think the 30-year-old kid can believe it. But you turn around one day and you've done some cool stuff.
Never, never to know how I loved you. If I loved you. If I loved you. If I loved you. If I loved you.
How can you not cozy up to that? I was swaying the entire time. That is Cap Radio Jazz Music Director Gary Vercelli's conversation with jazz vocalist Spencer Day, which first aired ahead of Spencer Day's performance at the Sophia back in April. Spencer Day is currently on tour in Southern California. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. Before we go, a quick editorial note to pass along. We were supposed to speak with Sac Republic FC, the soccer team, about their big match tomorrow night and all the excitement surrounding it, but there was a scheduling mix-up on their end. We will have that interview tomorrow for you on Insight. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer Antonio Munez. Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We will catch you back here tomorrow.